Welcome to episode 18 of the Game Weekend Navigators. I'm Aditya, and as usual, I have Sankalp. Leong is unavailable today because he has a convention to attend or a conference. So he's unavailable, so it's just the two of us. But to make things a bit interesting, Sankalp has decided to wildcard, so we at least have something to talk on rather than, you know, looking back at the miserable, you know, Game Week 5. So let's just jump in straight into our talking point. So we'll just basically start again as usual, looking at the transfer trends. We look at Game Week 6 fixtures in brief and look at few of the numbers that we have seen so far, what the teams have put up in terms of attack and defense. We look at Sankalp's interesting wildcard, whether it makes sense to go ahead and do it now or do it later, or even if you are in a kind of a similar situation and with the players that Sankalp had in his previous team till Game Week 5, maybe this might be the time for you to wildcard. Then obviously we look at some of the dilemmas, not a lot, but some of the important ones, obviously captaincy and our first themes. So before we go to transfer trends, briefly, Sankalp, how was Game Week 5? I know it was miserable, but how bad was it?
Massacre. I took a hit, a wrong week to take a hit, and I was getting into the game week thinking I'll not make any transfer, I'll save my transfer, but then I got to know that Isaac will be benched and I did not have enough players, which was correct as well. So I decided to do Isaac to Jesus, and then I thought, you know, triple Arsenal attack does not look good against Everton, it's a bit too optimist. So I decided to sell Martinelli. I had enough money to go to Sun. On paper, fairly good moves, right? I captained Sun like a lot of people. I thought, hey, you know, why not take that option? And I ended with 26 points with a hit. That means on an average, you know, it went down to 22. And I see that average is still 44 points, right? So I was 50% of average. I think this is the worst game week I've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, even I scored right about 35 odd points. I think one of the sort of swings of so far has been the Alvarez decision that managers had to take a few weeks back, whether it was Alvarez or Jackson or Foden or Alvarez, something like that. And I think it is turning out to be more like the Isaac versus Wilson that we had towards the end of last season, where there was all of a sudden a huge gap suddenly. And the only advantage is that this is right at the start of the season, so you still have like ground to make up over the course. But if it is towards the end, it is something you want to forget. But yeah, I think barring that, I think that's the reason the average kind of went up. I scored 35 odd points. I was a bit surprised seeing Chilwell benched, Diaz benched, and the rest of the other points were like, I expected Foden to at least return, but just 2 points there. So something here or there, I mean, that's why it was a miserable week.
and Diaz is just starting today in Europa League fixture. So I think this is a trend that will continue for him now.
Yeah, that's one thing that we need to all look at now from now on.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'll talk about players and wildcard draft a bit in depth. So let's look at our transfer trend so far. Obviously, it's Alvarez, the cover star of this week. Most transferred in so far, also had a good, I think, outing in the Champions League game. Botman is the second most transferred. I think Newcastle have kept a clean sheet last week in the Premier League as well as midweek. I think it was a goalless draw against Milan. So, again, the emphasis on the defense is starting to happen. Mbeumo, Ward-Prowse, West Ham's fixture swing does happen a little bit later. But for his price, he's starting to perform well, unlike what he did for Southampton, but starting to look different. And obviously, Mo Salah. The inevitable move is going to happen soon for most of us, though we don't wildcard. So that's it. That ends for in outs. Obviously, Jackson rage transfers for Jackson. Chilwell, Isaac got benched. Mark was injured. I think he's back, and Rashford is again not living up to his price tag. So anything surprising out of this?
since I have, I am on a wildcard. I did a few bit of these moves, but to be honest, I had Isaac, and we were talking about Isaac and Wilson last season. And this season, I was not considering Jackson at all. So I was fairly into the Alvarez versus Isaac camp, and I went to Isaac. And last three game weeks has, you know, such a strong difference in returns, which I did not expect. So I've corrected that. We'll obviously get into it during the wildcard draft. But Pep very clearly said that Alvarez looks like a player who's more or less certain to start in City squad now. And he rarely does that. But it's a fact that both him and Haaland are looking so good together as a partner. They are looking, those 1-2s are coming out so well now. It just feels like a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think a bit of their attack is kind of thin at the moment. So that's the reason Alvarez is like not a bad option even for a long run. I think we'll talk a bit on that later. Let's look at game week 6 fixtures. There is a question also in the chat we will cover up once we do this. It will make sense for us to get that. So we have Palace, Fulham, Luton, Wolves, City, Forest, Brentford, Everton, Burnley, United, Arsenal against Spurs, Brighton against Bournemouth, Chelsea, Villa, Liverpool, West Ham, Sheffield, Newcastle. So there are a couple of games wherein you expect the players that you manage to keep to get something out. Bearing obviously probably the biggest game of this week is the North London Derby, that's Arsenal against Spurs. So any of the fixtures, bearing that one, I know you'll talk a lot about Arsenal and Spurs, but any other fixtures, I mean, any other game that, you know, has caught your eye?
I think swing fixtures, right? A lot of people are still hoping on a Burnley United, you know, resurgence against Burnley. They're hoping for a similar haul for Rashford like Sun did 3 weeks back, Rashford or Haaland. And I saw some of the match yesterday for Bayern Munich versus United. I think Haaland does look like an interesting player. And one of my friends who's a United fan did point out that Rashford did not take any shots yesterday. He just created chances for Haaland and other players, which is interesting. Because if that number 9 position is very crucial or very critical against Burnley. But at the same time, I thought Burnley will be thrashed by Nottingham Forest, who are again who have emerged as a really good counter-attacking team. But that did not happen. I think Burnley are also getting a bit street smart. So I want to see how that flavor comes out, you know, how that entire narrative pans out. Apart from that, I think Brighton versus Bournemouth will be interesting for me, for us to see, because most of the people have moved out of Brighton assets. I actually had March in my draft till I saw that yellow flag and I've just taken him out. But if he does start, I think there's a lot of points there. You just need to guess who starts for Brighton. That is the most difficult part, right?
I mean, there are a few other games that are very important. I mean, a struggling Chelsea play Villa. I think you're probably playing Villa at the wrong time. And Moyes goes to Anfield, and West Ham are a very bogey team. They all of a sudden, they'll come and they'll, you know, surprise you. They're playing well this season, so that's going to be a good game. I think other than that, Brentford, Everton, there are a few games that you expect a lot from, like Palace, Fulham. There are people who are going back to SA, so for the next couple of weeks, and then I think people might even start Luton defenders against Wolves, seeing how struggling Wolves are in terms of their attack. So we're seeing a lot of different players also being shuttered. And now I'll get in this question with regards to Arsenal against Spurs game. That's start Udogi or Saliba, start Madison versus Arsenal, or Pedro versus Pombo?
Question one, ideally, I would like to start none because I think the chances of clean sheet for both teams are fairly lower. If I have to, I feel I'm more confident starting Saliba because I think the chances of clean sheet is higher for us than for Spurs, right? Start Madison versus Arsenal or Pedro versus Bournemouth? Ideally, Madison, because you're pretty much clear that he starts. With Pedro, you're just not clear, right? If you know for sure Pedro starts, it's a different thing altogether. I would take that risk because a lot of people are on Madison, right? I think there's a lot of scope for someone who's going something like, we're just talking about Brighton versus Bournemouth, right? So if you can guess who starts, or if you know by any chance who starts, I think there's a lot of haul potential from Brighton, especially this being a home game. And I would take my chances.
Yes. For me, I think I will go Madison, because Pedro, I'm not sure whether he's going to play or whether we see Ferguson back. So that's one thing. And even I'm kind of in a similar boat in terms of question one. I have started Udogi over Saliba purely because of offensive. You expect him obviously to get some offensive run, but Saliba could be clean sheet and bonus or an on goal from a set piece. So it's a coin toss there. And so that's the thing. So pretty confusing there. I think we're done with looking at the fixtures in brief. So let's look at some of the stats that we have. So let's go on to the attacking stats. I think the ticker has not changed, but I'll let Sankalp take us through this section.
Yeah, I think the idea for me was, before we segue into the wildcard draft, right? Just see how the teams are now doing, right? And how is this ticker sorted? I forgot, which metric have we used for sorting it?
So the beauty is that it's not sorted.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So primarily, I think the way the stats are looking, Brighton is still looking really strong as a unit. And this is something I wanted to touch upon, because a lot of guys are still very low on Brighton assets. I'm not sure why. People have sold off Mitoma. People have sold off March. March makes sense. There was some injury scare. Mitoma has started, I think, more or less every match so far in Premier League. And unless we see something dramatic happening in Europa, it feels like he has more or less cemented his position, right? So they have just got a Barcelona young player who people are speculating might start sometime soon. But I don't think it's going to happen immediately, because even the player has not played a lot for Barcelona. Right? So it will take some time. So Brighton looks like a team who's creating a lot of chances. And ideally, it's something interesting for us to note, because most of us are without Brighton assets now when it comes to the attacking side of things, right? City are City. They're still doing a lot very well, and that's where the entire point of going double up on City attack or triple up has started coming on, where people have now Alvarez or Foden, or Alvarez plus Foden, because only Haaland is not enough. And it makes sense, because I think City are slowly gelling so well as a unit, because I think the first couple of matches they did not create a lot of chances. They were just taking some of the chances, but over the last couple of games, I think they are slowly stepping up the gear. I think we were so lucky as non-Haaland captainers. He missed 5 big chances and just converted one, right, which is extremely rare. So you just have to take a bit of the luck there. And that's where, so now it comes down to Salah, right? Spurs and Liverpool. On wildcard, I was trying to get out of Spurs primarily because the two games which are there. But overall, I feel Spurs look really good attacking side. They're creating a lot of opportunities, and Ange ball is already rolling, right? But Liverpool are now someone that I'm fairly happy to see, because the Salah factor is back now. And it seems that we cannot do away without Salah anymore, primarily because most of our punts in the mid-price bracket is not working out.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage of what is happening so far is that most of us, those who are not wildcard, at least have about one in the bank still. So there is a possibility, or there are ways to get in Haaland and Salah and still have a good team of informed players, and with so much of under 7 million priced forwards also, like playing. Like Alvarez, for example, if you think he's 6.9, then you have a couple of other forwards who are just maybe 7-ish, and then you have the 7.5 million bracket midfielders. So the Salah inclusion is going to start very soon. I think people are just waiting for game week 9. I think post game week 9 or game week 8, when majority of the next wave of managers pull wildcard, I think it's going to be all the Mo Salah in draft, then no Salah. So I think that's going to happen. So that's the only thing so far. And attacking numbers, as you said, right, this is not sorted. But even if you see, I can't really. It's right in the middle, actually. That's the odd thing. Shouldn't be the first. But if you see the amount of goal attempts, right?
Yeah.
Tottenham are 101. Then we have, I think, Brighton with 93, City with 97, Liverpool with 81. I think Arsenal, Villa, and United are all close to the 80 mark.
Yeah, yeah.
So, as reliable teams are there, but some of the teams are not, you know, scoring a lot.
Yeah, the issue with Brighton is while they remain very top, right, it's very difficult to know who's the guy who's going to attempt shots, right? And that's where I think the ownership is fairly low. But if you see someone who's starting regularly and someone like Mitoma or March who are around 6.5 million, I would really go there, right? It feels not so good. It feels not good not to be there. Of course, the fixture swing is there with Game Week 10. And I think a lot of these players will come back in when people go for the popular wildcard template. But it does make sense to try out opportunities. For example, this week we have Brighton facing Bournemouth at home. It feels like a lost opportunity. If you are there on wildcard, it feels like an opportunity that you can go for at least.
Yeah, that's the advantage, right? If you're going to wildcard, you're going to attack while the others play conservative till they want to attack. So so whatever points you've lost, you need to gain. So I think we'll come to your wildcard a bit later. So let's look at the defensive stats and then I think it will be wildcard. So let's look at the defensive numbers. And one team that has been disappointing me so far, obviously, that's United. We are not defensively looking that astute. We are looking very shaky. And I think if you see here, right, Fulham have kept two clean sheets. That's the reason Leno is looking like a very good pick throughout the course of the season. And I'm pretty sure it's Areola-Leno combination. And that's going to be there in a wildcard draft. And that's the reason I'm looking to ship out Onana. So if we come to my team also, there's a lot of other things there. City defenders, Newcastle defenders, and any other defensive, players you're going to pick, bearing these two sides.
So I feel now pretty good about Arsenal, especially because Raya has now come in, right? As the goalkeeper, he started yesterday in Champions League match as well. I'm not 100% sure that he starts again, but I'm 80% confident that he's the guy who's now going to continue rolling from here. So he's a better shortstopper for sure. And at least yesterday as well as in the Everton match, both the matches, I think Arsenal are fairly solid defensively. And while the fixtures are a bit tricky, but it's all about the entry point. You enter this week or you enter the next week when we face Bournemouth away, and then you roll off from there. Because one stat I saw since last week, Arsenal are the best attacking side, the best defensive side when it comes to away matches by a mile. I think Arsenal have like 14 clean sheets and the next best was City with 7. So that is the difference when it comes to away matches. So it feels good. And the fact that we are adding a new goalkeeper now, who's supposed to be a great shortstopper, makes me feel that Gabriel gang, you know, people left all that Gabriel gang, but Gabriel, Zinchenko, I think there are more options which can come up. People are also considering Raya now, especially people on wildcard. I had a lot of discussions with people who are on a wildcard like me, and quite a few people are flirting with the idea of starting with Raya. So these are some of the, I think, additional names that we can go for. Obviously, people are now going to go for double, triple Newcastle defense. I've seen double, I've seen triple as well. But makes sense given the fixture swing and the fact that from a metrics point of view, you see them, they are still fourth in the list and they did not have a very easy fixture ticker. They had a tough fixture ticker and they're still fourth on the list. So Chelsea, while the numbers are there, very difficult to trust because I think the system still needs gelling. So in my mind, if I can, I would definitely love that City, Arsenal, Newcastle defense. But if I cannot, at least I think City and Newcastle with the fairly better fixtures are someone that I'm looking to jump on, right?
Yes, I mean, one of the interesting things you see is that there are a lot of teams who are in the 55 to 70 zone. Majority of the teams are in that. Otherwise, you should distinctly see three brackets, like few teams that concede the least shots, a lot of teams concede the most, and very few in the middle. But now we have everyone in the middle, more or less.
Yeah.
And there's like one, two teams at the top and one, two teams at the bottom. So probably the longevity of the game, in the sense games going to about 96 minutes is bare minimum. So I think 110 minutes we see, like, every game going to about, that is probably increasing the amount of shots they are facing. And we are seeing a lot of goals going, late goals or goals that change the course of the game. So.
And one thing funny I found about Fulham is, while they are worst currently when it comes to XG conceded, right, if you look at the number of goals attempts they have conceded, if you look at the number of goals attempts in box, they're still in the middle. It's just that they've conceded a lot of big chances, right? And that's what they're hurting. I think with Paulina coming back, Tim Ream coming back, there's a chance that they get stable, and it's all about managing the kind of chances. It was considered a lot of shots, but used it all low XG shots. That gave Raya a lot of saves and things. And Leno's just in the spot focus is that they can start reducing the quality of chances, they can make it a bit less risky. Leno can come out as a very strong option because they're not considering a lot of shots.
I mean, that's how you expect, right, the mid-price keepers to get more points. Is you need to expect them to concede more shots so that they make more saves. So
yeah, and hope for a clean sheet.
Yeah, and then hope for a clean sheet. So then you get three bonus as well somehow. Okay, I think we are done with this. Let's go on to probably the most interesting topic that we have, is Sankalp's wildcard draft. And yeah. I'll leave it up to you.
Yeah, so overall, like we're discussing, so my rank is, I think, tanked severely. I did not pay heed to rank because generally you don't look at rank this early. But I just realized that, I'm reaching close to 6 million in rank. That seems like extremely low, not where I started, where I thought I would be. And at the same time, I think there's a bit of a gap which has already come up. I think I'm 50 or 60 points behind 1 million. And I'm sure almost 100 points behind people in 100K. Right, and that's where your ambitions are, right? You start playing the game thinking, hey, I'll be doing something around 50k, 20k, 30k, something like that, right? So the gap is too wide. Generally, I'm not comfortable with more than 50 points gap from where I want to be. At the moment it starts getting past that, I think, hey, you know, my warning bells start ringing. So people are thinking, I see a lot of comments saying, hey, it's a knee-jerk reaction. It's not. It's primarily where you are and where you want to be, right? So I didn't start this season thinking I want to be 1 million. If I started this season thinking I want to be 1 million, even then 60 points is the gap already, and that's where my warning will start ringing, right? So once you decide that, hey, things look a bit grim, I want to change things, what do you do? My general philosophy about wildcard is go secure in your captaincy and go wild in your wildcard, right? So I have done a couple of differential captains. Now I know for the next 5 or 6 weeks, it's going to be Haaland, boring Haaland. But I have been able to create a differential enough team to hope that if they click, they will still give me enough gains for me not to worry about the captaincy chip at all, right? And couple of things I wanted to correct is, one, get Alvarez in. I had Foden in my draft prior to this, so I got him out, I got Alvarez in. I wanted a cheap third striker to balance things out. Edward is coming out as a really strong option. He's, I think, third in the number of shots that he has attempted among all strikers. And Crystal Palace are taking a lot of shots. The goal attempts is still 75, which is fairly strong. They are close to United, Arsenal, Tata, even in the number of opportunities they are creating as well as trying. And while Edward has not been consistent, I'm looking at him as that, you know, him and fifth midfielder, someone coming in. So if you look at my team currently, Diaby is my fifth midfielder. He's going to be the guy who's going to start more. But they're going to opportunities like this where, you know, Palace are going to face someone like Fulham at home, and I'm going to give it a shot. My ideal draft had Bowen in it and not Trossard. I have enough money to get Bowen in at any point of time, but they have Liverpool away this match, and I feel after seeing Champions League match yesterday night, I thought, hey, you know what, Trossard is looking set. He's on form. We have two fixtures, both, I think, Spurs at home and Bournemouth away, which I expect to be high-scoring games. And without doubt, Trossard is the best finisher that we have in our team. So looking at he is more of a two-week, three-week punt for me, two-week punt primarily. If he clicks, maybe I'll extend. But he's someone like, I know I'll not be able to play Bowen for the first couple of weeks, so why not try something more fun with Trossard. I've gone for Odegaard and not Saka primarily because, again, differential, Odegaard is taking a lot more shots than Saka is doing. And at the same time, I'm saving that points and million, which I did not have. Salah is, I think, everyone's reason to wildcard. So it is, even though he's not scoring, he's creating a lot of opportunities. He's creating a lot of chances, big chances. So it just made sense to bring him in. He is not blanked so far. So that is another, or he's blanked just once. That is another added opportunity because now I am in a position where I'm not getting enough points. So I just want to bring in guys who are giving me points. Mbeumo, having seen a lot of Brentford matches, I feel that guy is like the soul of Brentford. So for now, I'm continuing. At some point of time, with given his ownership is rock high now, at some point of time, I might want to differentiate. But today, I don't want to take that risk, especially given the fact that he's facing Everton at home now. Right? Defense, Newcastle double defense, pretty much template with anyone who's going to wildcard from today to next 3 or 4 weeks. I wanted to get one City defender in, and Ruben Dias is the most solid pick that we can get. For me, he's one glue pick I want to have for the next 10 weeks and not worry about. I know they have not got clean sheets, but stats-wise, they're still the best defensive team there. Estupinian is my one, you know, fullback, attacking fullback, which I wanted to have. For people, it's Chilwell. For me, it's Estupinian because I feel that when he plays, he looks really good. And this week, they are playing Bournemouth at home. Doesn't feel like the week to sell, right? The goalkeeping choice is, I think, the most toughest choice now to make. There's no really clear-cut answer. I saw Joff's wildcard draft and he suggested Flecken plus Areola because I think they combine really well. They rotate really well from fixtures point of view. I'm not as confident as Flecken because, again, similar to City, they have conceded goals and they have not been solid defensively. They are middling it currently. Leno looks like the guy who will give me points from saves, even if he's not keeping clean sheets. And that's the reason I've started with him. Not completely confident, but at the same time, I don't think there is any correct answer. I might have wanted to go Pope, but I don't have the money for Pope. He's the only guy who I feel looks like a better answer to me when it comes to goalkeepers. And I've moved out Turner for Areola because I think with Turner, the question marks have started coming and Areola is doing fairly well. Right, so this is the draft. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting draft. I mean, terms of defense, I wouldn't say anything different. It's pretty much what you need to do based on the fixtures. So those five defenders are perfectly fine. The only thing is that even the attack makes sense. Alvarez Haaland is like more or less at the moment, it's like a must based on their form. And Edward, we were talking about Edward would be right pre-game week one. During the preseason time when we had put up the forwards video, we were very much saying that Edward might be someone to look at, maybe purely because Hoxton is just lousy man. More or less, he always plays. So yeah. under Patrick Vieira, what we used to see, more of Mateta playing. It used to be very much inconsistent in terms of predicting that forward. But now we're very clear that it's Edward and he always a high potential player, so I think he's playing well. The only thing is that you have Odegaard instead of Saka. That's probably because you want to cut costs, and I mean, that's your point of view that you expect him to get more points purely because he's having more offensive attempts. And Trossard is a punt, so for the next 2 weeks. The only scary thing is that, not scary, but you don't have a Spurs midfielder, because currently if I see, Madison is the fourth most owned midfielder with around 31-odd%. Then I think we have Rashford at around 33, just above him. I think those are the two only like sort of template picks who are missing. Like Rashford also is a separate dilemma because he's not returning, so that's something you can keep aside. But
with Madison, it's a planned transfer. At some point of time, I will do Odegaard to Madison is my thought, right? Especially given the fact that after 2 weeks, I think Spurs fixtures again look good, and I have enough money in the bank to just make that transfer, right? You save some money and you make that transfer. But these 2 weeks, I felt like I need to have an Arsenal attacker over a Spurs attacker. And this was prior to Champions League match. Odegaard was already in my team, primarily because from price point of view, he was the guy who was coming in. The same time, I feel he's the guy that we constantly overlook because it's very difficult. He takes a lot of low XG shots, right? He arrives in deep. He comes in, he plays a bit deeper, then runs in from deep and then takes his opportunity. It's very difficult to predict his returns. You feel more comfortable going with Saka because you know he always creates a lot of opportunities and somehow he keeps getting involved in goals. But again, the entire point of doing a wild card now is to go a bit wild, right? Play a bit more differential, and knowing that you're going to stick to that captaincy chip and not move around there. So in my mind, I know it's a Haaland captaincy. And I have now enough picks around Haaland as well with Alvarez, Ruben Dias, Botman, right? So Salah as well, right? So I have got enough security to play around in some positions. Madison is a punt. I'm just hoping that next 2 weeks, I'm able to, you know, suppress him well. With Rashford, I think the entire point of wildcard is going for picks, right? Getting out of the picks who are not working, right? Rashford is clearly not working as of today for me. Maybe he will, things will change, but now I'm willing to wait and watch. People, I think a lot of eyes are there on the Burnley match, right? And I also want to see who. I don't think this season I'll go for double United attacker. It'll be a single one. I also want to see how Haaland comes out as an option. Bayern Munich match also, Rashford created a lot of opportunities, right? So I want to see out that transition. I don't want to jump in today. I know I'll miss out on some points, but at the same time, I don't think these will be 5-0, 6-0 matches or, you know, 4-0 kind of a games that I'll miss out on a lot of points. Right? So some risks that you have to take. I'm a bit more edgy about Madison risk than about Rashford risk, even though I know at least for the Burnley match, Rashford would ideally would return. But over the next 2-3 matches, I'm more comfortable not having Rashford than the Madison part.
I mean, I agree with that. And I did say last week that Rasmus Højlund will become, at some point of time, he will become the sort of ideal option from United based on the price bracket and the position he's in. So the only thing is that why you've gone, I mean, Edward, we spoke about Edward, but why you have not gone for Morris? Because I think Game Week 7 also is, I mean, in terms of paper-wise, they play Wolves in Game Week 6 and Everton and Burnley in Game Week 7, right? So you could possibly have a player that plays double in 7. I mean, worst case scenario, he'll get a 4-pointer and then you can ship him out for someone else. Why not Morris?
It just feels like a known transfer that will go out. I know for sure I'll ship him out, right? Previous experiences of having seen those Watford attackers, and right, so I don't want to get into it. I don't trust Morris enough. Maybe he'll score one goal and he'll get 6 or 7 points, and that's fine. It'll not be something that will hurt me, but I don't want to use that transfer again because I know I'll have to. Right, Kabore looks is the guy that I picked from that team currently, because he's creating a lot of opportunities. I'm not even sure whether I'll play him that week, but maybe I will because he has a double game week. But feels fairly similar, The floor is 4 points. The ceiling is, you don't know, maybe 6 or 7 points. So it made sense to go for the cheaper player, 4 million defender. I will be okay not playing him. But with Morris, I know I'll have to move him out.
Yeah, I agree. We all got burnt. I mean, that's the Watford year of King and triple captain and all the other things. Anyways, we're done with this wildcard draft. Let's go on to the next one. That's dilemmas of this week. We'll just briefly go on each one of them. We'll just wrap up this episode in 10 odd minutes. Let's not take a lot of time. So Trossard, a viable option, I think you did cover. So based on his current form and the next two fixtures.
Yeah, from what we have read, is Martinelli can be out for up to 5 weeks, but we still don't have an official confirmation. So I'm still waiting for it in case, you know, you had news that, hey, Martinelli can be back within a week or two. Then I think it's too short a time to go for someone like Trossard. But if you feel that there is an opportunity where he can play for the next 5 or 6 weeks, given his price point, I think it's a good way to start. At least the next 2 weeks, we know, look fairly good attacking point of view. And he's a very good finisher.
Next is Chilwell dilemma. Sell or hold. I have Chilwell, so even I am like, kind of, you know, confused here. So although if you see game week one, I mean, so the reason that people went for Chilwell is that purely looking at the preseason games, and then with that you know, theory and explanation, and game week one goes straight away according to what, you know, all the talks went during preseason and all, and then it started to go sideways, and then we saw him getting subbed off whenever Chelsea were trailing around the 60th 65th minute mark. And then he got benched last game week, and I think Pot said that he wanted to play Mudrik, so he benched Chilwell, the vice captain, and he played a conventional back four. So even I'm not sure what to do.
I think today more or less everyone is trying to find a way to go Trippier or some Newcastle asset, right? And I think that is one sure shot way of, you know, someone who's using a free transfer moving on, primarily because with Chilwell now that minutes risk has also come in. Even the matches he started, he played 61 62, you know, some 60 odd minutes he would be taken out by Pochettino. We are yet to see him in his fullback role, though I do expect some changes to happen and Chilwell to go back and take that fullback role. Even then, I'm not as confident about Chelsea clean sheets. The metrics do look good, but I feel structurally they are still figuring things out. Again, Chilwell going back to fullback means they have to rejig their defense, right? So things will take time for them to settle down, and I think I'm okay to wait and watch and see when they do better, when they settle down before moving in, right?
Yes, yeah. So I think that's what even I'm going to do. I think I'm going to even say bye-bye to Chilwell. Because I just quickly went and checked, Reece James dropped to 5.3. So whenever the time comes, Chelsea play well, I think that's the answer.
But Reece James is your perfect 2 week punt, right? You can never predict more than two starts for him. And the good thing is, I was looking at Gusto, and Gusto looks really, really good as a player. I'm not as confident that, you know, Reece James just comes in and takes his place. Because Gusto looks fairly well balanced as a player, something we had read about in the preseason. But now watching the matches, I feel like there's a possibility that James has to fight for a position, because Gusto looks more balanced as a asset, right? He can give you both attack as well as defense, and a lot of options or opportunities on the field, which James does not give. He is obviously a top talent, but given the fact that the stability of fitness and everything is there, and Gusto has played a lot more matches now already, there's a possibility that you might have to, you know, wait and watch how that thing plays out for Chelsea.
I did say when and if. See that. Okay, next is Newcastle's defensive assets, who are the best. I think your wildcard pretty much gave the answer. So it's Botman. I think Botman, Cher, Burn and Trippier, I think.
Yeah, those are the four top players. I think from a price point of view, Botman is the best place to start with. Something we were discussing pre-season as well. It made no sense for Botman to start at 4.5 and he's still around that. Apart from that, we have Burn at 4.5, which I have gone for primarily from a price point of view. I feel like Scar is a good asset at 5 million. You are fairly comfortable knowing he starts. Trippier obviously is a solid asset, but I'm not very sure as to how big a ceiling he's giving now compared to earlier. Right, with players like Tonali coming in, I think the attacking intent or attacking way of attacking has now got a bit more distributed for Newcastle compared to earlier days when it was primarily via Trippier. So I'm more comfortable now taking a double Newcastle defense who are cheaper. I have gone for Burn and Botman primarily because of purely from a price point of view, but if I had that 0.5 million extra, I would have gone for the Scar and Botman combo because I feel fairly well balanced. You know, they start and both bring a good amount of aerial threat as well, so you never know, someone can score as well.
This is a good shot. I mean, Newcastle defense, we know how they're playing, so it's sort of become a reliable defense from what we've seen from last season. So they cut it up. Next is goalkeeper, upgrading the goalkeeper. I want to know, why did you mention upgrading word there? Now, I am looking to downgrade from Onana.
I didn't think from a price point of view, right? I was thinking purely from a Pickford point of view because I'm a Pickford. Like, I need to upgrade. I think most of the people have gone for keeper who are not doing that well. Right. So the thought was primarily that it's time to make a change, right? I saw Sanchez, who's got some good points. Neto is doing fairly well. A lot of unspoken players who are doing decent when it comes to FPL returns now. You are looking to move out of Onana. Who's in your mind?
I think I was looking at Leno. Purely from a long-term perspective, I think Leno is someone who's like, the as the years gone by, we had Pope as the definition of 4.5 million defender. I'm sorry, goalkeeper. Like, they used to concede shots, he used to just save, he used to get save points. I mean, the games he used to concede 3-4 goals, he used to end up with at least 3 points. So that's what you expect. You don't expect a lot of clean sheets now, and with no games going that long. But obviously, I think when I'm looking to wildcard, I think post game week 8-9, I think Neto and Areola start becoming like a better pair towards that point of time. So I think it's, you pick and choose who you want in that price bracket, but you don't really expect a lot. I think once you touch the 5 million mark is where the actual expectation begins. But I think 4.5, 4.6, if you get 3 points or 2 points every week, I think you should be satisfied.
True. Makes sense.
Next, we have teams to target.
I think we've covered it already.
Yeah, so we did speak about that previously. We'll add the timestamp, so if anybody has missed it, can go back and take a look at it. Next is, when do we get in Salah?
Today, if you can. Right, if you can. And I think Salah is going to be the main driving, especially if the low go game week continues, if we have, Arsenal and United midfielders not giving you returns, right? I think it's just a matter of, when you can, right? It's just a matter of when you can get that money sorted, because he's looking pretty much in form. Yes, he's playing wider. He's not getting a lot of opportunities to score, but at the same time, Liverpool are creating a lot of opportunities and Trent is injured. Salah is looking like one of the major creative forces for them, right? So he's a guy who's giving us points. So at some point of time, you just have to consider you have to look beyond ROI, right? You have to look at people who give you points. What will you do with money in the bank? Mm-hmm. And this week, I think, looks a very good entry point. But almost I feel like every week after this looks like a good entry point. It's just a matter of when and how you can manage that money required to buy him in.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool play West Ham, then they play Spurs and Brighton. So I think more or less the bandwagon will start in game week 9. I think that's the time where people will wildcard. Or I think it's as simple as that, whenever people hit the wildcard, they're going to get in Salah. So yeah, that's going to be like the straightforward answer, because you at least need to make 2 moves to get him in, and that will be very difficult for most of the managers to do. So yeah, makes sense. think last but not least, we have striker option. That's Alvarez and Edward. And I think we did speak a bit on
we
this.
Did speak about these two people, but I think a couple of more names. We obviously spoke about Haaland, but one player that I also wanted to speak about was Wilson. I really wanted to see if I can get him in. I just didn't have enough money and I went for Alvarez over Wilson, but he's looking again. Newcastle fixtures are looking solid. Whenever new Wilson starts, he kind of scores or gets involved some way. And the way over the last two matches, I think has given us good opportunity to understand how he wants to attack Champions League versus Premier League. So more or less, I think Isaac played 90 minutes for Newcastle in the Champions League match against Milan, and Wilson did not come in. Barnes came in for Isaac, and if you look at the Premier League fixture that went by, Wilson played almost the entire match and Isaac just did not come in. Right? So I think we were discussing it a couple of weeks back, who will start, who will not with Lyon, and it feels like Howe has more or less made his mind. If he's a starter, and given the fixtures that Newcastle have, Wilson is someone that you should consider because such a fabulous finisher. Right? As long as he's fit, he'll give you points.
As long as he's fit, I think that's the most important three words there. He is fit if you say four words. So whatever, four, five words. Yeah, we know how we know. His caliber of finishing is very high. So if he's in that zone, he's going to score. So we've seen it last season towards the end, right? Just few minutes here and there, he would come up in the second half and go with double digit hole. So that speaks itself. Okay, so we're done with dilemmas for this week. There may be a couple of other dilemmas with regards to United assets. So yeah. I would probably say hold. Hold is... unless you're going to raise transfer or you're going to look at getting something like Salah and all, you can pick and choose what you want. But I mean, for United, I think we only play sort of Man City somewhere in the middle. That's in game week 10. But other than that, I think there are a few tough games like Palace, Brentford are not easy games for United. Always pokey teams. We always struggle against them.
And they have good metrics as well. Palace, I think, is... underlying, I think in the top five, around top five, right? Brentford is always a tough defensive team to break down. Right? And that's the reason I'm thinking, even if you have United players, maybe you hold for the Burnley match, right? And try and see if you get out more points. But once you've got those points, don't get greedy. I think next week, look for a transition out. We can always come back to United later. I don't think you'll lose out a lot. Even if you lose out, at least we can use these next two, three weeks to get the right answer as to who is the player for United. It's not Bruno. It may be Rashford and it may be Haaland, right? So, and you never know the right wing option now opening up, how they're going to shape up, right? Is Pellistri going to get more opportunities? Or is Garnacho coming in and playing more regularly? And maybe he'll play on the left wing and Rashford gets pushed to right. Right? So I think there is a fair bit of restructuring that Ten Hag will be doing over the next 3-4 matches. It does make sense to have a look at it and then go back in again. Obviously, you have to go back in again at some point of time.
Yeah, so in terms of right wing, I mean, I'm not sure, but We may see Mount play there once he's back. I'm not sure. We'll see what he's going to do. Okay, that's enough for now. Let's look at the captaincy picks. It's a very short list. I think we should skip discussing this unless we find a week where he's not the standout option. You get the others. Otherwise, it is like
I find it very difficult to think of an alternative to Haaland this week. Even Alvarez, you know, he gives you points, but you don't think he gives you 12 points for 15 points, right? Which Haaland does. And even in the last match when Alvarez played really well, gave a lot of points, you had Haaland with 6 big chances. He had that, right? So at the end of the day, that City team looks to create for Haaland. And unless Salah becomes Salah again, I think we just have to start playing. We have to stop thinking about that chip. Right? Just play a bit more differential in your squad. Take a bit more risk in the team. But play your captaincy chip more or less on the main man.
Yes. pretty much hit it with captaincy. We look at my team because Sankalp is anyways wildcarding and we did discuss about that. So this is my team at the moment. I have Onana, Chilwell, Estupinian. I mean, for now, nothing is... I have two transfers and I'm still deciding what to do. So there are like, if I had to transfer out, there are probably, arguably, say four players who I would like to ship out, maybe Onana, but I may keep him purely because of the fixtures and just hope for the best. Chilwell, Luis Diaz and Jackson are the three people. The more or less Chilwell, I will transfer him out for a Newcastle defender. And I might roll my transfer and go with Jackson, or I might ship out Jackson for Alvarez.
That I think Luis Diaz is now looking as a, especially if he plays say 70-80 minutes today, you know he doesn't start. Right, and ideally you would like to bring in someone who starts.
Yeah, so that's where it is. So maybe let's say Chilwell to Botman and Diaz to, based on the funds, whatever I have. It's 1.12, right? 7.5. I think I'll have close to 9 million to do something.
I think you have opportunity to use the two transfers, right? Because how Jackson maybe continue because he's still getting the chances, or if you want, maybe this is the week to get Alvarez because he's already had a double price raise and it's just going to get more and more pricier. It looks like the answer that we are just not taking, right? So maybe do that move this week,
maybe or may not. Let's see. Okay, we're done with bus teams. I think we are done with this episode. We have covered up whatever is needed for Game Week 6. Game Week 5 was a forgettable game week. Game Week 6, we are hoping for something better based on the fixtures. So we discussed Sankalp's wildcard, few players to pick, teams to target, attack and defense. Look at my boring bus team. We discussed the boring captaincy option, just the one. And that brings us to the end of this episode. Hopefully those who tune in later, watch this stream again or listen to audio platforms, have a good time. Do drop us a rating on the audio platforms. Like, subscription on this channel will help us go a long way. Unfortunately, there won't be a deadline stream this week, so we'll be back with Game Week 7 preview. We'll discuss how Game Week 6 goes and we'll compare Sankalp's wildcard team versus non-wildcard team next week to see whether it actually goes as well.
Cool.
Yeah, so that brings us to the end. Hopefully you guys have a great Game Week 6 and we see you all next week.
Thank you.